The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our lead story this evening, I'm joined by Pavlo Fotidis, the co-founder of the Auric Group. Welcome.
Thank you. Very pleased to be with you.
Pavlo, we had a very successful conference, first one ever held in Namibia. Many Namibian businesses are still owner-managed. What's the first step for an entrepreneur who wants to scale beyond being dependent on the founder?
Okay, well, I'm going to answer that in three different ways, because an owner-managed business and an entrepreneur are two different things. An entrepreneur is someone who sees a problem in some industry, has a solution to the problem, and effectively then decides to start a business, hopefully, to solve the problem. And that early phase of any business is vital. You need to be able to see a problem and have the courage and conviction to solve the problem and then start a business. A business owner is someone who already is in business, is the primary owner, manager, leader, shareholder, maybe themselves, maybe with another partner, maybe part of a family. And what they need to do in order to survive, scale, grow is fundamentally different. Because by then, you've already got your first few clients. You already are earning revenues. And the success in the future, to a part, depends on the success in the past, but mostly is led by your attitude to the business. If you believe that you're building a business to create economy for yourself, which is normal, I need to put food on the table for my family. That attitude is a limiting attitude. It means you will get to a point where you are putting food on the table for your family, but then the likelihood of you wanting to grow the business is not there. If you are earning enough money to feed the family, what then drives you further? An entrepreneurial business owner is never satisfied. They're constantly saying, once my needs are met and the business can look after me and my family, or us and our family if you're in a business partnership, in order to thrive, in order to stay relevant, we constantly have to grow. And there are two reasons for it. The first is, if you're not growing your business, it's dying. Because it's been eaten by inflation, it's been eaten by cost of living, it's been eaten by the fact that the country's GDP growth rate is growing at between 3 to 4%. All the other external growth factors or eroders of value eat away at your company if it's not growing. The second thing that drives it is that there are constant new competitors coming into a marketplace, and they're likely to be doing things different to the way you've always done it. If you don't adapt how you do things to meet the new needs of markets or the new requirements of customers who themselves are facing change, by definition, you lose your relevance, and through that, you lose your business.
Yeah. Pavlo, how can small and medium enterprises build resilience in an economic environment like Namibia's?
When we talk about the Namibian environment and we talk about resilience, I could give you a whole lot of really good technical answers to it, but none of them are relevant. Because the single most contributing factor to resilience is the owner's attitude. If you decide that what you're building needs to be bigger, needs to be better, if you decide you can have a bigger impact, a bigger purpose, that drives more growth and helps you navigate diversity, uncertainty, complications beyond anything else. And I've seen that consistently in all growing businesses in the hands of growth-orientated business owners, whether it be across the US, the UK, Northern Europe, Southern Africa, Australia, Singapore. That attitude is the single most important feature. The next most important feature is you need to have clarity of purpose. Why do you do what you do? How do you remain relevant? That requires you to constantly invest in the business, constantly innovate. And the third final factor is, where are you going in the next 3 to 5 years? That plan needs to be actionable. To to say you want to, for example, increase your revenues by 3 times is not enough. You need to have a clearly defined destination, because as a business owner, whether you like it or not, you are a leader. You're a leader of the business, you're a leader of your team. And if you don't have a clear destination, if you don't have clarity as to where you're going, despite what uncertainties and storms you face, you lose your ability to direct and lead with confidence, and your team picks it up, and that often can be the undoing of yourself and the business.
Looking at the bigger picture, from your experience across Africa, what lessons can Namibia draw from other markets in building stronger businesses?
Well, it's going to really take me back to not Namibia itself. If you're asking me about Namibia, then effectively Namibia is in the hands of multiple stakeholders. You've got the population. The population itself is diverse.
Yeah.
And what does a population need? Well, everyone at the end of the day wants to know that they can put food on the table of their families, ultimately. It makes it a real challenge when you've got such a high Gini coefficient between the haves and the have-nots. You then have political leaders, and political leaders need to be influenced by the reality of how economy takes place, and yet at the same time cognizant of the fact that the majority of voters are likely people who are excluded from that economy. So it makes for very complicated political decisioning. And that complicated political decisioning can often lead to policies that are either not practical or not business friendly or are seldom ever executed. So they remain on paper rather than the reality to influence how money is invested in an economy. I fundamentally believe that every economy is structured like a meat sandwich. You have a few very large, well-established corporates in the first slice of bread. You have many, many micro-enterprises and sole entrepreneurs in the second slice of bread. But as a carnivore, where is the real nutrition? It lies in the meat between these two pieces of bread. And that meat in any economy are those established, mid-sized, growing businesses. If you think about it, someone who started a business 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, has a business, for example, doing $20, $30, $40 million a year. They can't realize a return on that business unless they have a 5-year plan to build it up and deepen its capital value. If we enable those individuals that are proven to run businesses, establish businesses, if we enable them to further grow, they pay more tax, they themselves create economic inclusivity and opportunity because they're likely the first-time funders for most unemployed people, and they give those youngsters or unemployed people the credibility to seek then better jobs elsewhere, should that be the case.
Yeah.
Focus on that mid-tier, and that mid-tier creates the foundation of a nation's prosperity. I've seen it consistently across the world.
Yeah. Then going back to the conference, you spoke about navigating tomorrow's unforeseen. Please tell us about that.
Well, if you think about it, tomorrow's always uncertain. In fact, there are very few absolute truths in life. For example, you were born. Fact, undeniable. Another truth, you will die. Fact, undeniable. The sun will rise and the sun will set. So if you think about it, actually, there are very, very few certainties. And if we look at what drives uncertainty, is there are 3 forces of change. The first is the external factors. If we look at climate change legislation, every year it's becoming deeper and more complex. It impacts all of us in how we lead and grow our businesses and how we make our investments. Technology is changing at pace beyond anyone's control. Global geopolitical factors. If you look at the restructuring of trade across the world, those are all external factors that you have no control over, but they will apply to you. We then have internal forces of change. And in a business, what that means is this. A business doing $5 million of revenue a year, growing to $20 million of revenue a year, means you've increased complexity. The way you lead, direct, manage that business has to be different to the way you did for a $5 million a year business. If it goes from 20 to 100, fundamentally different environment. Challenges with people, challenges with competitors, challenges with suppliers and customers. The second force of change. And then there's a third force of change. And that is, as a business owner, circumstances in your private life change your attitude, needs, wants, desires. It could be a death in the family. It could be a tragedy of some sort. It might be you and your business partner split up and it gets nasty, upsetting, angry. Those factors also weigh in. So you've got these three forces of change that are inescapable. And that means that tomorrow is always going to be uncertain. The depth and the rate of uncertainty has amplified. The best way to navigate it is in the same way that you would sail a ship. We leave Vulfus. We get our eyes on New York. That's the port we are sailing to. We know that these forces of change will apply. They create storms in the sea. For so long as we navigate through and across the storms, recognizing that the one thing that has to hold true is that our destination is New York, it allows us to lead with clarity and confidence despite the challenges that we all face. Your team pick up on it, and it means that your decisions are all building the momentum towards helping you reach that end goal. The destination of any business should be that you build it into an asset of value.
Pablo, thank you so much. It was lovely talking to you.
Thank you. It was lovely talking to you.
The Lead Story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.